This is Casey Currents. I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
New Orleans celebrated Mardi Gras last week with that signature brass band sound. In the 7 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated the city, a local man has played a role in bringing that sound back to the streets. For Casey Currents' Odd Job segment, Sylvia paid a visit to a master craftsman in Olathe who is custom making instruments for some of the top jazz musicians in the country.
A horn shop is a pretty noisy place. And it's not just trumpet players testing for sticky valves. If you go behind the store to the workshop, you'll find it actually takes sound to make sound.
Sound is very much a part of our world.
Mike Corrigan calls himself the horn doctor. He shows me around his 5,000-square-foot warehouse, which is tucked away in an industrial park in Olathe. Hundreds of instrument cases are piled everywhere. Corrigan flicks a switch next to an old bathtub where instruments get cleaned. Even that involves some noise.
So we turn that on. And what that does is that high-pitched frequency will actually shake out all the debris in the instrument to get all the dirt out of it.
Corrigan knows the physics, chemistry, and geometry behind making music. From the unique properties of materials like brass, copper, and silver, to the angle of a bend on a horn bell. Most instruments nowadays are stamped out in modern factories, but Corrigan loves the magic of metalsmithing techniques that go back to 16th century horn makers.
The way they were made didn't change very much. I could picture myself going back in time, and if I was to go back in time, I could, you know, do this.
Some of the first instruments Corrigan began making were for historical collections, like the German sackbut, which is a precursor to the trombone, and the Baroque natural trumpet, which has no valves. But now he's making custom instruments for professional musicians who perform on Broadway and in jazz, pop, and even rap music. Corrigan says what all these instruments have in common, the most important part, is that flared end, the bell.
The way that a bell is made is definitely going to have the biggest impact on how the horn plays and sounds.
A typical trumpet or trombone starts out as a sheet cut from a roll of yellow brass. Corrigan's antique brass cutter works like a giant can opener. He cuts a shape that looks like a Y.
And then we'll hand cut these little notches all the way down on one side. We will actually hand zip this all the way up. When we get it all finished, it's brazed with a high temperature silver solder. And then from that point, you'll have a flat piece like this that gets hammered out on an anvil. When we're getting the form kind of roughed out, we're using a variety of different anvils and big different mallets.
The horn is then slipped over a steel mandrel, which is like a form for the shape. If it needs to be bent, it's filled with hot pitch and then cooled.
And that pitch keeps the tube from buckling and collapsing.
The end of the bell is shaped on a spinning lathe. Corrigan leans into it with a long rod that has a knob at the end. This is one of his favorite parts. He says very few instrument makers hand spin bells anymore. It's time consuming and physically challenging.
You gotta put a lot of weight into that to get the metal to move. This is pretty thick material I'm working with.
After a few minutes of spinning, the metal gets brittle. Corrigan has to pull it off and heat it with a blowtorch until it glows red and softens up again. There's a lot more to making the smaller components. For trumpets, they still need to order a few parts. But Corrigan says they make 100% of their trombones in-house. He actually started this company based on his reputation for repairing trombone slides. You know, those long parallel tubes that slip in and out.
We have a special process for polishing the slides so they feel like butter. That's what we like to tell people, they feel like butter.
And that's kind of what it feels like as it moves.
Yeah, real smooth. You want it just to be real nice and smooth and fast. So when a musician is playing a lot of quick notes, they don't have to be fighting their horn and have the slide interfering with what they are thinking in their head, because we want them to be able to portray their voice and their thoughts that they have with their music without having any difficulty from their equipment.
You're listening to the Mason Brothers Quintet. One of the brothers is Elliot Mason, the trombone player for Wynton Marsalis' Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. And that horn he's playing? It's a Corrigan. Mike Corrigan grew up in Maryland and started playing trumpet in middle school. He was really inspired by his band director in high school.
He and I would sit down and disassemble instruments and clean them and try to fix them, and he'd show me what he knew. And he actually discovered a school for band instrument repair, and he was real impressed with that. He'd never heard of it before, and I thought it sounded like a lot of fun.
There's actually only a few instrument repair schools around the country. Corrigan went to Minnesota State Southeast Technical, a program known as Red Wing. It was only after he graduated that he got the idea that he could actually construct an instrument from scratch.
After repair school, my teacher came up to me and said, "Mike, I think you would really enjoy making horns." And I said to him, I didn't even think of that. You know, I guess somebody's got to make them.
So from there, Corrigan apprenticed at a Boston manufacturer of custom brass instruments. He moved to Overland Park in 2004 because his wife had grown up in the area. Corrigan started his new business in his home.
It started in the small shop in my basement, and then it moved to my garage, and I had my garage and my basement. And then the rest of the basement, our living room in the basement, became a showroom, and it just... the shop started to consume our living space, so that was the point we needed to move out.
So in 2007, he set up shop in Olathe. Corrigan's now just 31, and he has 11 employees at BAC Horn Doctor. BAC stands for Best American Craftsman. The shop also repairs woodwinds now, and one of his guys is doing elaborate engravings. They've started working with area schools and more local musicians, saxophone player Bobby Watson and trumpeter Herman Mahari, to name a couple. But Corrigan's reputation is probably growing faster in New Orleans. He made his first trip there the year after Hurricane Katrina.
I know a lot of people were going down to New Orleans to help rebuild houses and help with the cleanup and all that. But what I decided to do is bring the repair shop down, set up and just repair horns for the musicians down there. I thought, that's what I do. That's something that I can provide. And I thought that would be a genuine help.
Corrigan and an employee drove down with their repair truck, which is a converted concession stand. They set up in the parking lot of a church in Treme, the traditional musicians' neighborhood, the one that HBO series is about. And they waited.
We were real concerned because not a lot of people showed up. And we had a few people come in and out. And it was almost noontime when I remember this gentleman, Jamie, who's a great singer down in New Orleans, shows up with a saxophone. And then I can't do his New Orleans draw. He kind of sounded like Harry Connick Jr. He's, where is everybody? And we thought, we don't know. We're here to fix horns. At that point, we said, we don't know where everybody is. And he says, you know what? These are musicians. They're sleeping still. And we thought, oh, of course. They're not going to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So he said, don't worry. They're going to start showing up. I'll make a couple of calls. And sure enough, just before noon, the word got out, and we suddenly had a huge pile of people outside.
Corrigan says there were a lot of teenagers there, and he was worried because it was a school night.
I was a little concerned, first of all, being in this area late at night, at midnight, and I don't know anybody. I was a little concerned about that. But when all these kids were waiting for their friends to get their horns done, when we finished that last horn that first night, the kids all said, well, we want to show you that we thank you for fixing our horns. We're going to play you a song. And I'm thinking, it is midnight. That's all right, guy. You don't need to do that. They said, no, we want to show you our appreciation. So I said, all right. And they start wailing. There was probably a group of about, 18 or 20 kids. And they're just wailing, playing. Oh, they're just blowing really loud, and it sounded awesome. It was great. But in the back of my mind, I'm really concerned because it's midnight. I don't want people, upset people. And then I start noticing people are coming out of their houses. And now I'm getting really nervous. But instead of yelling about the noise, they come out. They start clapping and dancing around. And I'm thinking, where on earth am I right now? This is crazy.
We'll be right back. has ended up going down to New Orleans once or twice a year to repair instruments. He's gotten to know a lot of people and recently received a proclamation from the mayor thanking him for his service to the musicians of New Orleans. He's become particularly close to Trombone Shorty, who's a rising jazz star. Shorty's playing here with the Rebirth Brass Band, who just won a Grammy for their album The Rebirth of New Orleans. All but one of the musicians are blowing, you guessed it, Mike Corgan's horns. Corgan sometimes works with musicians for years to develop prototypes for instruments that can create the sounds they have in their heads. Elliot Mason's the trombonist who plays at Lincoln Center. He's traveled here some 10 times from New York on a quest with Corgan to create the perfect trombone, or at least the perfect one for Mason's style.
He's got a very unique sound. The best way to say it is it's very dark, like a milk chocolate sound, if you will. But he has such skill for jazz improv, and he thinks so quickly. So when you hear his approach when he's soloing and playing, it genuinely is his own voice. And he thinks so fast that he needs an instrument that is really flexible and has a lot of agility so he can get all over the horn. But at the same time, it's got this, like I say, milk chocolate sound.
All musicians want a good sounding horn, but some are more about the looks.
We made a horn for a gentleman who does a lot. He's played with P. Diddy and Jay-Z and Maxwell. He's very in the pop scene of things. And from his perspective, he obviously it's very important to have a horn that plays really well and does what he wants it to do. But he wanted something that also looked very unique. So now we get into the design and the character and the personality of the person aesthetically, not just how they sound. So that horn is very unique looking. It was all green, but it kind of changed colors as you walked past it, like a custom chopper or a car or something like that. And the bell bent up like a Dizzy Gillespie, and the bell was removable.
Corgan got into all this because he loves working with his hands, cutting and soldering and spinning metal. But all the time and attention makes these custom instruments expensive, starting at $3,000 or $4,000. He's succumbed to mass production for a few less costly instruments that he designed. But in the end, Corgan says there's nothing like hearing the results of all his labor. The first time it happened, he was at a Broadway show.
The stage lowered and you saw the musicians, and I realized that was a trombone that I made. That was one of the horns. And seeing that on Broadway, it made me realize that although I decided to pursue the technician side of things and devote my life to repair, you know, sure, if I had more time to study music, I might be more of a proficient musician. But the reality of it is I make them now and I repair them. And I do play, but not to the level where I'd get a Broadway gig. But when I saw that, that was a piece of me on that stage. And that was really, really cool.
Mike Corgan hopes to move his Olathe shop to downtown KC someday to be closer to the music scene and to the musicians, if New Orleans doesn't steal him away.
We'll be right back.
If you can't listen to all of Casey Kearns today, catch what you missed online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us on iTunes.